Welcome to the Music Ed Matters podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and this podcast, it exists for you. Whether you're a music lover, an educator, a choir member, each week we bring guests to the show to help explore what matters in music. I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome to the show. Hello, and welcome to this very special bonus episode on the Music Ed Matters podcast. My name is Dr. Emily Williams-Birch, and you're about to meet three amazing humans. These three people have joined forces to create True Change Alliance, and they are the newest sponsor of the Music Ed Matters podcast. But they're not just sponsoring our normal once-a-week episodes. They're going one step further and helping to curate something very special, which we'll announce in this episode. What are you going to get by listening to this? Well, lots of smiles, because these are awesome people with great stories. You'll get some ideas. You'll learn about True Change and what that means, and how the True Change Alliance can help you, your organization, your school system, your classroom, your individual reflection and thought really become a place for true change. Make sure you listen to the end, because the four guiding principles of TCA are dynamite. Don't worry, I'll wrap them up in the closing remarks. Thank you so much for listening. I now present to you this very, very special bonus episode, introducing True Change Alliance. Welcome to this very, very special bonus episode as I introduce you to three really amazing humans who make up True Change Alliance. Dr. Marshawn Hyman, will you please tell us all what is TCA?
Yeah, thank you, Emily. So excited to be here. So True Change Alliance is a Black-owned, a queer-owned diversity consulting firm who's focused on leadership development. Right, so we are really excited about working with companies to create true change. So I am the co-founder and principal of TCA and really excited to begin this organization. And I can throw it over to Ajori.
Hi, I'm Ajori Spencer. I'm also a co-founder and director of coaching, the coaching aspect of TCA. Really excited to be here today, Amy.
This is great. Justin, how about you?
Yes, I am Justin Stevens. I'm another one of the co-founders, and I'm the director of program development here at TCA. Also excited to be here.
Wonderful. So how did this get started? Where did the brainchild come from? How did the three of you meet? How did the seed get planted?
Yeah, we were actually talking about how we met. And I think we said, was it gospel choir at FSU? Is that what,
yep.
what it was?
Yeah.
Go gospel choir.
Of course, music would be the thing to bring us together.
Of course, yeah. And actually the woman that someone you'll be speaking with or hearing from in a couple of weeks, she was the director of gospel choir at the time. So look out for that.
Ooh, you're giving a little teaser for what's coming later in the episode. Woo woo.
We met at gospel choir. Majori and I, we lived in the same dorm, and then I think we all met in gospel choir. So that was really cool. And then we kind of stayed in contact. You know, you have those friends that will like send random text messages or Facebook messages and be like, what's in the world is going on with the world? And did you see this? And we're just, you know, kind of going back and forth over the years.
So are you all, what are your majors? What are your backgrounds? We need your elevator pitches. Who's going to go first and tell us what you are, who you are, what you do?
Well, I'll go first because I'm a bit of the outsider here.
Okay, so this is Justin. If you're not watching on the YouTube channel and you are listening to the audio, this is Justin. Hit it, Justin.
Yes. So I actually, Jordan and I met at orientation for FSU, and we had the same orientation leader. Is that what they call it? Mm-hmm. And she suggested to Ajori, I was eavesdropping, to join the gospel choir, and I was like, doing it. We started in gospel choir freshman year, then Marshawn joined. I guess they knew each other because they lived in the same dorm, and they were both in the College of Music. I was a psych major, so all the way on the entire opposite side of campus, you know, riding my bike and coming over to the college, into the School of Music for gospel choir.
And what do you do now? What did you do with that psych degree?
Wow. So
sorry, that's kind of deep sometimes.
So I majored in psychology and child development. And for a while, I was working with kids who suffered from abuse, abandonment, and neglect, Then I started working with children who suffered from mental health and behavioral issues. I taught parenting classes for a while. So social work, basically. And then I decided that I needed bills to be paid. So I left that field for a break. Quotes in the air for those listening. And I went over to the world of insurance. And it was very interesting because I started seeing, so when I was in social work, I started seeing, you know, how our kids were affected by our behaviors. And then when I came over to corporate America, I started seeing, okay, well, here are some of the things that are affecting the parents, which is, you know, some causing some of the those issues to be brought home, and then how that's affecting kids. So now my mission is to, I always wanted to help kids, and I feel like I'm still doing that because I'm working with their parents now, and I'm trying to alleviate some of the stressors that come with bias and, you know, stereotypes and prejudice in the workplace, so that that's just one less stressor for them to have, so that they can, you know, have extra points for parenting.
I love that. What a great background to bring and such a fantastic perspective. Thanks for sharing, Justin. Okay, which of the two of you are going next and giving us your elevator pitch?
So I began as a music teacher in public school, and when she eventually went to get a degree in educational leadership. And
pause. That's how I met you, by the way, because you are still the best intern. You and I worked together how many summers in a row?
I think it was like 3 summers in a row at the Spanish.
So much fun. Anyway, it's great to see how you've grown. Keep going. Sorry for the intrusion.
Thank you. No, it's cool. So music is definitely still a huge part of my life. But I ended up getting a degree in educational leadership and convinced the Joy to do the same. So he could tell you about himself, but that made me smile. So I've kind of moved over to higher education now, doing diversity work and training staff and supporting students and really looking at the organizational level on how we make more system, how we make systems more equitable. So that's kind of my 9-to-5. And now we're building this organization that maybe one day will be the 9-to-5. So
amen. We're throwing that out there. That's a big dream goal. I'll help with that one. Nice. It's great to see you. I actually bumped into Dr. Hyman when he was giving a presentation on his dissertation in all places in California. And I saw his name in the program book for a conference, and it was right before or after my presentation. And I sprinted in and sat in the back and tried to hide, but he saw me, and it was amazing to see someone go from undergrad and to see you in your first years of teaching and see you go get your master's. And now you're really living in your full potential, and the change that you are facilitating is contagious and beautiful. And I'm really excited to share it with the world. So thanks for sharing you.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
All right, Ajori. So you got looped into this whole go back and get a degree in something not music. Tell us your story.
Well, and it's funny, you know, I was on the instrumental side of things, though. If you ask Dr. Thomas, he declares that I was a choral music ed major and changed my major, but I did not. Yeah. I came in instrumental music ed and just had a lot of choral friends. So it's really funny you mentioned the Savannah Children's Choir, because when Marshawn would be going over those summers, I was looking it up too, and I'm like, I wonder if I apply even as an instrumental major, if they would take me, but I would have totally taken you. But I literally looked it up every summer that Marshawn went, so that's so funny. So, you know, I had a similar background to Marshawn in that aspect. I went into music teaching. I stayed longer than Marshawn did, teaching middle school band. I really always loved that age group because they're always different. Every day is a new day. But sort of like Justin mentioned, you really see the effects of the world around them at that age. And they just need people who are so incredibly aware of what's happening to work with them and to love them and to care for them and to help them out. So middle school was always my focus in that regard, and learned so much there. And then recently I moved more into curriculum specialists, into program development and things like that, still trying to get access to more kids and make the things that we're doing more relevant and pertinent to their lives and helping them out. Which sort of led us into this organization. You know, I had been talking to Justin for years and years and years, and I was like, you know, I see one day, you know, starting this organization where, you know, where we help businesses out, and, you know, we can do these kind of trainings and these kind of trainings, and we just, you know, we need people from all these different backgrounds to come together. And Justin was like, no, I'm good. And then there would be a day he called me from work and he'd be like, there's this issue going on. And if someone had trained them like this, and I was like, oh, if someone had trained them, you know, maybe some sort of firm, you know, that trained them to do these things. And then I can't remember when it was, but Marshawn, I think, called me. Probably not. He's terrible at answering his phone. So Marshawn probably
great at text messaging.
Yeah, he probably texted me. Marshawn texted me one day and was like, "Oh, I'm thinking about this consulting thing," and you know, he sort of, you know, was like sort of laying the groundwork for TCA. And I was like, you know what? That sounds strikingly similar to this idea that I keep bothering Justin about. Maybe if we crafted it a little more and you know, and presented it to him that way, he'll join in. So we roped him in, and so we created True Change Alliance, which is, you know, diversity, equity, and inclusion organization. And I think what's so different about us is we pride ourselves on creating like comprehensive, true, and lasting change. And you know, one of the jokes that we have is that means we're not going to create a 30-minute diversity training and say, amen, okay, that's it, you did it, we can check this box off, you and your organization are now, you're there, you've made it. Yeah. You know, we want to create, you know, some lasting things. We want to dig deeper and create some changes that aren't just performative, because you know, that's mm-hmm. that's sort of a huge issue that we're facing right now, which sort of leads into our guiding principles that we'll talk about later, the idea of, you know, this true change needs to be sincere. You know, what do we really want here? What are we really trying to accomplish? Because that's going to take some buy-in. It's going to take some buy-in from the leaders. That's going to take some buy-in from all the employees working in that organization, both culturally and financially. We got to have some buy-in. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going to create some uncomfortable conversations. But, you know, if we're brave and we really dig into those, then we can make some true change there. So we got to get everybody involved. We got to get everybody involved in this continuous process.
So many things that I like that you just said. I'm sorry to interrupt, but I don't want the listener to miss out on these things. First of all, you said it's going to get uncomfortable. You can't change if you don't get uncomfortable, right? And then the second thing you said was the buy-in factor. It's not just one 30-minute diversity training. Woo! It's so much more. And I love how you're actually pulling in leadership buy-in and financial buy-in. Because if you don't put something on the line, why are you showing up?
Right. Yes. Right.
Exactly. And then last thing before I ask you more questions, you three bring such a great mix of experiences to this table. Just listening to each of you talk and how you have facial interactions and such, I can see how you'll be able to connect with so many different kinds of leaders and so many different kinds of people and organizations and situations. What's step one? Like, what happens now? You've combined, you've created TCA. What's the next step?
So right now this is actually one of the first steps. We are trying to create some advertisement and kind of get our name out there and make sure that folks know what we're doing and who we are and why we exist. And we're also launching this organization officially on the 18th. But you're hearing this episode after we officially launch. So check out our Instagram. It's at True Change Alliance. Check out our LinkedIn, True Change Alliance. But we're launching the business and getting things going, and currently I'm booking our first client. So don't want to say the name just yet, but we're looking forward to really beginning our business and getting things out there.
It's really an honor to have you guys as a sponsor on the podcast. And what we're going to announce at the very end of this episode, the big thing coming out of the sponsorship. But I love that you have a plan moving forward. What will it look like if someone does want to utilize your services? What are some of the things that you're going to be bringing to both the people and the leaders and the companies that you're working with?
Yeah, I love it. So if you are interested in working with us, Ajori's been working very hard on our website. So thank you, Ajori, for that. Check us out at truechangealliance.org. You'll see a variety of our services that we offer. Right now, we're beginning with training, specifically unconscious bias training and anti-racism training. And then, of course, Ajori mentioned that we're also doing coaching. So if you are a leader interested in developing your skill set in diversity, or within HR and you want to develop some folks on your team, reach out to us as well. We can do some diversity coaching to move us forward. Those are our first two major aspects. And once we kind of get those grounded and really get going, we'll then begin building out the business a little bit more. So stay tuned on those remaining services.
Yes. Oh, so we're getting in the ground level. We'll get to see where it goes from here. Yeah, who wants to add to that?
Yeah, I'll just say we've also discussed the opportunity of some ad hoc services. So in addition to the diversity coaching, there are other topics, if you will, that kind of fit under this umbrella that aren't necessarily about eliminating bias, like our unconscious bias training are, or the anti-racism training, but other things that kind of follow up under DEI initiatives that might be for a specific subgroup of people. So as you mentioned, we all come from these different backgrounds. So we bring together this melting pot of experiences. And I think it's great to talk about those intersectionalities of those experiences, but also having services for individual groups so that we can make sure that we're meeting people where they are and fitting their individualized needs.
Love that. Ajori, what do you want to add?
Well, we talked a little bit about True Change at the beginning. And, you know, one of the trainings that I'm really excited for us to offer soon is sort of an intro to True Change. You know, when we think about bringing us on and, you know, the work that we'll do, sometimes people need to understand what are we trying to accomplish before we get into those other ones. So, one of the ones we're really excited about from the at the very ground level is, let's talk about what True Change is. And I think that'll be a really good start for some organizations.
So for someone listening right now that wants to actually start thinking about what does True Change look like, what are some questions or activities or something? Like, a lot of teachers listen to this podcast. For example, I have rehearsal on Monday. How can I take some of your thoughts and ideas into my rehearsal planning or into my teacher self to start really working towards True Change? Do you have any quick tips? I know that's not the answer, but to get us started.
I know for me, you know, in the classroom, some questions I would often ask myself are, do my ensembles look like my school? And I know that that's always a question that really starts to get you evaluating, you know, yourself and your preferences, your biases, things like that. Because if the answer is no, then some of the follow-up questions are, you know, what do my ensembles look like? And what are the things I'm doing, saying, programming that have created the groups that are in front of me? Do the composers I'm programming look like the students in front of me? Do the composers I'm programming, you know, have some of the same backgrounds? And those questions just sort of start to get you going. And you know, it's a really reflective process. It's a really introspective process once you get comfortable asking and answering those questions. Marshawn, what were you going to say?
Oh, Joe, I love that. And I check on all of those things. I think one thing that I'll add is thinking about how you also select your ensembles and how you audition your ensembles. A lot of folks we know that don't have access to resources to practice as often or have the teachers to teach them as often, right? So how are we selecting the students in our ensembles, and how do they have access to a variety of different types of education? So that's one thing I'll add.
These are great things to think about. And I, just being transparent and really honest, something that I'm working through right now are the names of my ensembles. We establish the names as a quick one-liner to help publicize in a city that this is what we have, because anything more complicated we feared would inhibit us getting more people into the organization, because we're still a young organization. But in my heart of hearts, I know that's something that I'm going to have to work towards and change, because right now our ensembles are gender named and I don't feel comfortable with that. And as I've had a few students who have expressed how they're not always comfortable in the ensemble they've been placed in. So I know that's something that I need to change, and somehow I need to build into my organization so that we can train our city new names. But I'm not ready to change the names yet. I just know it's coming. And that's step in the process for us and for our community. And I'm stoked to eventually have that conversation with y'all once we start moving towards it.
Let's do it.
Emily, you mentioned something that I think is very important, though. And I'm not going to get too much into this because I don't want to give away all the secrets. But when we talk about True Change, the first step of true change is deciding that you want to make that change. So what you're talking about right now is that it's, you know, you're on that decision-making process of what changes you want to make. And that is a very important first step.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I know I've talked to Marshawn a lot throughout this whole quarantine experience, and I am eternally thankful that the three of you have teamed up to create something that I know will spark change and positive, lasting change, because we need it. We need it so much. And I'm thankful that we have this space to share. Do we want to tell the listeners what our big news is and how we're teaming up?
Let's do it. I love it.
Does anyone, I mean, I'm about to jump out of my skin. I'm so excited. Does anyone else want to tell them, or can I tell them?
You can tell them. It's cool. You got it.
We're creating a series together. I'm so excited. It's the TCA series. And these awesome humans are curating special guests to come on the show as bonus episodes every month in the TCA series to bring you perspectives from all different types of places and education backgrounds. And what, I mean, this, I'm so excited. What are you guys excited about with this series?
I think I'm personally really excited about all the different people of color that are coming on to speak about it. And then also as we curate the series, the variety of topics that they'll be bringing to speak about. And I think especially really excited about how music education can directly intersect with diversity work, right? Which has not been historically utilized. So I'm really excited about those professionals coming in to talk about how we can be better educators inside of music education. So excited.
Love it. Justin, Ajori?
I'm just excited to hear from some amazing humans. You know, some of the people we have planned are just truly, truly incredible people in their fields. And, you know, their names are already out there, but just to get them out there even more is truly exciting to me.
Give them the space. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I'll say education is so important to me. I consider myself a lifelong student because I'm always trying to learn something. And I think that when we learn things different than what we already know, that's when we really can grow. So I'm excited for people to learn things that they may not have known because they're coming from different walks of life.
Yes, those different lived experiences. We're doing a book club with one of my choirs right now because we have a pen pal situation happening with a collaboration up in Wisconsin. And one of my staff team said that they read this book called I Will Always Write Back. Have you read this book? I Will Always Write Back. It's a memoir. It's a seventh grade girl from Pennsylvania who was assigned a pen pal from Africa, I believe in Zimbabwe or along those lines. And this book is a memoir of their letters back and forth in the 90s. And how it changed both of their perspective of the lived experiences outside your bubble. And that's how I feel this series is going to be for me, for our listeners. I'm so excited to see examples of learning and anything outside of my bubble. Because my bubble's boring. I want to see other people's bubbles.
Oh my God. So powerful. Yeah. And I hope that we have that impact or even greater.
I know we will. Long-term planning, we will have once a month of this TCA series releasing. I know I plan on having y'all back on the podcast to check up on how things are doing with TCA and make sure that all the listeners get to know you and the awesome things that each of you are doing. But before we wrap up, what do you want the listener to walk away with? I know that you have these four guiding principles. And if I remember correctly, the first one is that true change is necessary. But can each of you tell me what the other three are?
Yeah. Second, we know that true change is uncomfortable. We know that organizations that are founded in this country are founded on white supremacy, founded on racism, founded on mistrust. And we know that all of those elements have infiltrated the company culture. Right. So in order to truly, really create the true change we hope to see, we've got to dismantle some of that. And that's going to be truly uncomfortable for those that are willing to engage with us.
Yeah. And the next one is that true change is sincere. And here's the thing. If we want the true change that we so often say that we want, it has to be sincere. And oftentimes when we see efforts to be more diverse and more inclusive, like Ajori said earlier, oftentimes they're just performative. And when we say performative, we mean that they're not really set up to fix the problem that's actually occurring. As what they're, you know, really doing is just giving the impression that we're fixing the problem or putting a Band-Aid on it, but we're not actually addressing any of the issues with the policies that are in place, with the practices that have been going on for decades and decades. So those things continue to persist. And honestly, I could go on and on and talk about this all day, but I won't. I'll give one example though. And it's that when companies go, when they say that they wanna be more diverse and more inclusive, then they do the things to get the quote unquote diversity candidates. So we go to workplace summits or leadership conference and specifically recruit the demographics that we say that we're lacking in, but then we don't fix the issues at home. You know, we're not eliminating the bias within our own culture at the company. We're not putting in a system in place to effectively measure the success that we've gotten from these diversity inclusions. Nobody's being held accountable for it. So again, it just rolls back into this performative nature and it's not sincere. So when we say true change, it has to be sincere. And like I mentioned earlier, you've got to make a decision that this is something that you want to do and then do it.
Yes, you're striking so many heartstrings right now. I'll tell you after we finish recording. I have a surprise. All right, what is the fourth guiding principle?
You know, the fourth one is that true change is continuous. When we think about making changes, whether they're in our life or in a company, sometimes we get into the habit of we try it and it doesn't work, and so we're just like, okay, it didn't work. We gave it our best shot, but that's not how this is going to work. You know, true change is going to take some continuous effort, and sometimes you have to, you know, reflect, and you have to reflect frequently to say, hey, I see this small change. That's a step towards true change. Hey, I see this other change. That's a step. And we have to celebrate those individual steps and recognize that, hey, we still have work to do, but we're doing the work. You know, as we look at the world around us, we see history repeating itself time and time and time again. And, you know, and it's because we need some people who truly, truly want to invest, some companies who truly want to invest in daring to be the change. So it's continuous. It's a continuous process.
I think I got all four. It's necessary. It's uncomfortable. It has to be sincere. And it's continuous. How did I do?
Yes, you did it.
Yeah, Amy, come on.
I'm ready. So if you are listening and you are also ready to jump on board with these guiding principles, follow these awesome humans on the Instagram, check out their website. There will be more information coming, but most importantly, tune in every month as we send you really awesome clips from the TCA series. It's going to be dynamite. Y'all are awesome. I'm so glad we're friends.
Likewise.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on the show. In case you missed it, the four pillars or guiding principles of TCA is that true change is necessary, it is uncomfortable, it must be sincere, and it's continuous. We can do this, y'all. We are doing this. Together, we are changing the world. I'm so excited to be on this journey with you and to have a space where people like Marshawn and Ajori and Justin can share their dreams of TCA, True Change Alliance. I'm so thankful that you listen. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to support you further. In the meantime, know that whatever you're doing, it matters, especially if it involves change. We all know that music matters. And I'll see you next time on the Music Ed Matters podcast.